This Thanksgiving, bring home the flavors of family tradition and the spirit of togetherness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, we've got everything for your holiday feast. California-grown diesel turkeys, organic vegetables, fresh cranberries, stuffing, and all the trimmings. While you're here, shop for local treasures from the heart, like soy and beeswax candles, artisan jewelry, crystals, and more. Shop local, eat organic, and celebrate community. Orchard Nutrition Center, where holiday magic meets one-of-a-kind finds.
To the Jason in the House podcast. I happen to be Jason Chaffetz. And boy, we got a good one for you because we have Senator Kennedy. Anybody who's watched or listened to the United States Senate knows that Senator Kennedy asked the most poignant, perfect questions. He does so and gives a chance for his respondents to answer the questions. But I got to tell you, he is second to none in terms of asking a very pointed question and just using basic logic and allowing people to answer their questions. And usually does so with a bit of flavor and simplicity that you can't help but put a smile on your face. He is, he's just genuine. He's real. He's authentic. I think in politics, authenticity wins the day. And he's got a new book out. And so I think it's going to be interesting to talk to him about that. How to test negative for stupid and why Washington never will. We're going to talk about his book. And then we're going to just a little bit more about his background and how he got to the United States Senate. From the person who's often referred to as America's most quotable senator. Because he does know how to put together a quote. So Senator Kennedy from Louisiana will be our guest today. All right, time for the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, first we're going to the New York Post. Starbucks forced to apologize over barista. Now, barista, B-E-A-R-ista, brawls. These are... not my words, somebody else's words. Cute, little like cups with a straw, but they're a bear. And supposedly these are like, oh my gosh, we can't get enough of these, you know. And so brawls have broken out. Fans are staking out stores for hours trying to get the supply. This is one of those silly things. And so they're forced to apologize. It may be part of their campaign. But if you look at this little bear, it kind of looks like there's syrup in it, but I'm sure that's coffee. And then it's got like a beanie cap on it, which is actually the screw-on lid. And then it has a white and green striped straw, like it's a, it makes it look like it's peppermint, but I really don't think it is peppermint somehow. This is why it's in the stupid category. People, don't blame me. That's why it's in the stupid category. People going nuts over those. Also from the New York Post, because we love the New York Post. You can usually find just the craziness in there. All right, here's the headline, and this caught my attention. Art troll sneaks AI-generated print onto museum wall where it hung unnoticed by hundreds of viewers. It was an AI imitation. They call it AI imitation. Like, get it? That's sort of the joke. All right, so in the art world, they displayed this AI-generated piece of art up on the museum. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, this can be a problem. Anything in the art world, music, literature, pieces of physical art, like you could view photographs. I'm just telling you, AI with its deep fakes and robotics, I've seen some stuff online. I don't know, again, it's hard to tell how real it is. People are going to see companions of men and women who look like real and feel close to real, but they're actually robots. I'm just telling you, this AI world is just going to get weirder and weirder. This person put one of these AI printed prints up on the wall, and nobody seemed to notice it was something other than a fake, and they thought it was real, and it sat there for a while. All right, on to number three. Again, a trifecta from the New York Post. Here's the headline. Loudmouth Texas rep Jasmine Crockett has her feet kissed by lefty podcaster in cringe moment. Now, I saw this podcaster, I think she went, and she was on one of the Fox shows. And this is what Stephanie Miller wrote from the Stephanie Miller Show. Why, yes, I did kiss the sneakers of Jasmine for U.S., and I do worship the ground she walks on, and she was lovely about it. Oh, you got to be kidding me. This is a 64-year-old woman who got down on the ground and started kissing her feet. And, yeah, it's been viewed millions of times because it's just weird, and quite frankly, it's just pretty stupid. Anyway, that's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why Big Wireless wants you on an unlimited plan? They probably want you to cover the cost of those 20-somethings using all that data every month. But most people 50 and up like me only use 12 gigs or less. Don't get bamboozled by Big Wireless. Switch to Consumer Cellular. Our plans start at just $20, and we use the same towers as the big guys. Join the millions who choose something better, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions and bring you a special Black Friday offer.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal. And now, as a special Black Friday offer, you can get a free gutter inspection, plus up to 35% off. This is our best offer of the season. Unlock it now at leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1972.
John Dean.
I guess I'd have to say that it was probably the opening act of one of America's great tragedies.
Elvis had a hard time dealing with mother and the little girl that I was to him. To show any kind of vulnerability and security to me was not macho. It was not something that he felt I should see. So our communication was horrible.
We mourn our Israel friends, victims of this brutal assault. The Olympic flag and the flags of all the world fly at half-mast. The greater and the more important the Olympic Games become, the more they are open to commercial, political, and now criminal pressure.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A half-naked woman was allegedly tortured and chained in a Texas backyard for months by five friends who didn't like her anymore. The Austin Police Department responded to a home on the south side of the city around 9 a.m. October 30th after someone called 911 to report a woman screaming for help. When officers arrived, they found the woman with severe injuries, naked from the waist down and shackled to a punching bag stand. As they worked to free the woman, five adults inside the home noticed what was happening and tried to flee, but were caught by police. The victim told police she had been friends with one of the women arrested, but at some point the group decided they didn't like her and decided to keep her as a captive. She said she was forced to live outside for weeks and beaten whenever she tried to flee, even shot with BB guns. All five suspects were arrested and charged with aggravated kidnapping, aggravated assault, and other charges. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Zach Brown of Zach Brown Band. They are launching their new album, Love and Fear, with a residency at the Las Vegas Sphere. They'll use the themes included on the collection as the tunes span many emotions.
We can work on dark and on light and talk about both of those things, but we can also break down our decisions that we make in our life based on love or fear.
We got a short time to get it away.
He adds the band is grateful to go on this new musical journey with fans.
Getting the opportunity to take people along on a ride with you through things that have happened to you, through things that were hard that they can maybe relate to. The greatest release comes from tension. And so our goal through this show is just a series of rise and falls of like hard things, uncomfortable sounds, jump scare, like horror movie moments into beautiful redeeming things, and it just symbolizes the journey of life that we're all going through.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Let's get on to somebody who actually has something to say in life. And that's where I look forward to bringing on the gentleman who's just authored a new book. It's called How to Test Negative for Stupid and Why Washington Never Will. Let's bring on Senator Kennedy. Well, Senator Kennedy, congrats on the new book, and thanks for joining me on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, the book's doing pretty well. We were number two on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's Jason, it's not a policy book per se. It's a story book. I use stories to talk about policy, and I use stories to help people understand what the Senate is really like from the inside, to help them understand why in Washington, D.C., normal is just a setting on the clothes dryer, and to try to explain to them why it doesn't have to be that way if we just use a little common sense. I hope the book will make people think, might make them laugh, might make them day drink, but everything in it is true.
We can't ask for more than that. You know, the Senate is supposed to be the most deliberative body on the face of the planet, but
right.
Doesn't really seem like that.
No, the Senate, I am pleased with this part of the Senate, and that is that we really try hard to be as civil as we can. Mm-hmm. But the truth is you don't have to be crazy to serve in the U.S. Senate. They will happily train you, Jason. And the Senate only seems to work when all of us aren't crazy at the same time. That's just the way it is. You put 100 people together, all of whom have big egos, all of whom think they're brand names, like Lululemon, about 70% of whom think they ought to be president, and what you get is what you get.
Now, I served over in the House, and it was rambunctious, to say the least, and had many of those same qualities, but we also had quantity. And yeah. To say that it was civil all the time, boy, that just wasn't how people were going to get on their Instagram.
Well, the House, as you well know, is different. I love the House. But in the House, there are a lot more folks. They have smaller constituencies. In the media world today, everybody is, of course, competing for attention, because in the world today, power is attention. The Senate is a little different. We're smaller. We're together every day. We know each other well. Your friend today on a bill might be your enemy tomorrow and vice versa. And some of it is just personality. I don't hate anybody. I don't. I look for grace wherever I can find it. When I say my prayers, I ask God, don't let me hate, and I don't hate anybody, and I like all my colleagues, but some I like better than others. I'll put it that way.
Well, that's fair enough. You know, some of the best advice I got, you know, it's just the common sense of you can disagree, just don't be disagreeable. But yeah. Senator, I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of what you do and how you do it, especially when it seems, and this is my observation, you get somebody coming to testify before you, whether it's for a confirmation hearing or whatnot, and it's obvious to me you don't think they're necessarily up to the job. What's your approach to that when you're looking at somebody and you're looking at their work and staff's done their work to help prep you and they start answering questions and you just think, you know what, this I'm going to ask them some simple questions and let's see how they do, because that seems the way when you're at your best.
Well, my staff and I both spend a lot of time examining the backgrounds of the people that the president, any president, nominates. These are positions of great power, or they wouldn't be before the Senate for confirmation. And we can't afford to make a mistake. A federal judge, for example, you know, just because you've seen My Cousin Vinny doesn't qualify you to be a federal judge. And President Biden sent us over some people who were political activists first and lawyers second. And they had very checkered backgrounds. I don't really care that much about person's politics on the federal bench, as long as they're going to apply the law even-handedly and not try to rewrite Constitution every other Thursday to advance some political or social agenda that they can't get by the voters. And a lot of President Biden's people did that. In contrast, we've turned down over two terms some of President Trump's nominees, maybe five or six. And any time I have given them a hard time in committee, I've gotten a call from the president. And every single time he said, look, call them like you see them. If my administration sends you over a skillet head who doesn't belong in the job, then knock them, slap them to Pluto. Do what you have to do. And he's pretty good about that.
Well, and you're pretty good at questioning them. So the book is How to Test Negative for Stupid and Why Washington Never Will. Let's go back to I was born in, like, not the year, but where.
Sure.
And walk us through, because, you know, my guess is, it's true with most people, they didn't start their life thinking, oh, yeah, I'm destined. I'm headed to D.C. That's where I'm going, baby. So where did you go off the rails and decide, hey, yeah, D.C.'s for me? But go back and tell us a little bit more about growing up. What was life like for you as a young man?
Well, I grew up, Jason, thanks for asking, in a little small town, about 3,000 people, outside of Baton Rouge, a fairly rural community. I loved it. You know, I loved high school. I know a lot of people didn't. I'd go back to high school in a second. I cared about two things in high school. I cared about basketball and cheerleaders. And I wasn't very good at either one, but I had a lot of fun trying. Zachary was very small, a small town. If you are, you'll know what I mean. A small town is where everybody knows everybody's business.
Yeah.
Everybody knows whose check is good and whose husband isn't. And my parents stressed education. My brothers, I have three brothers. We all started working early. We understood because our parents insisted the value of both hard work and education. And then I went away to college and law schools for a long time. I liked school a lot. I put it off as long as I could, but eventually I had to join the real world when I came back to Louisiana. and how I got in politics by accident. I was a lawyer. I got in by accident, but I liked it. And people say, well, why did you go to law school? And I tell them, well, because I couldn't get into med school. I've got two brothers who are doctors, and God bless them. You know, your life never turns out like you plan it. You know, somebody really smart once said life is what happens to you when you're planning for the future. But I love the Senate. You have good days, bad days. You never have a boring day. I love policy. If I could, if I want to, for example, go learn about the chronic disease management program in Medicaid in Florida, I can do that.
Right.
That sort of stuff interests me. I couldn't do that when I was teaching and practicing law because, you know, when you're practicing law, you got to learn the stuff that your clients want you to learn. Otherwise, they don't pay you.
What kind of law were you practicing?
I did a lot of litigation. Some plaintiffs work, a lot of defense work, a lot of products liability, a lot of commercial litigation. I did a little bit of what we call transactional work, sort of paperwork, if you will. But I was mostly in a courtroom.
So let's go back. You're going to grade school. You're trying to shoot hoops. You're in a small town. But then, like you mentioned, okay, you had to get serious about life. But what happened? Like, what was your first job?
My first job was picking up trash on a construction site. My dad was a small businessman. He owned a little lumber company, and he built some houses. And my job was to he had a construction crew of five or six men. And I remember, I think I was about 11. It was the summer. It was hot. I went out. Dad said, you're going to pick up trash. And I remember he called all of the men together, and he stood next to me, and he said, son, you see these men? I said, yes, sir. He said, every one of them is your boss. And then Dad said to the men, he said to me, he said, if any one of these men who are your bosses tells you to go take a crap in the middle of the street, you do it. I was horribly embarrassed, but I got the point. And I worked in, let's see, I was a cashier in a convenience store. I put on shingles on a roof. I cut grass. I bush hogged fields. I never worked as a waiter. That's one thing I sort of missed doing. I kind of wish I'd done it because you learn a lot about people.
What, you know, it just seems today, I've always been personally, I'm opposed to the minimum wage. I think it's wrong. I think if you don't, you transact with somebody, I'll pay you this. If you're willing to do it, you do it. If they're not willing to do it, maybe you need to pay them more and you find that equal balance. But one of the things that's a consequence of the minimum wage is you have these young people like yourself, like myself, who, they miss out on these opportunities when they're, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old to work for somebody else and learn how to work hard and take direction and get kicked around a little bit. I seem to think that's healthy, but boy, Democrats fight that tooth and nail as if you're supposed to be making 20, 25 bucks an hour as a 15-year-old.
Well, my parents emphasized two things, education and hard work. We learned how to work. I guess every generation says, you know, the new generation is not up to snuff. But about a year ago, I was talking to a constituent of mine who runs a small business. And I said, are you having trouble getting people to take jobs? He said, yeah, I really do. He said, part of it is they've got to pass a drug test. But part of it is they don't have work ethic. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll give you an example. I hired a young man that I thought was promising, came to work. He worked Monday. He worked Tuesday. He didn't show up on Wednesday, but he showed up on Thursday. So he said, I went to this young man and said, where were you yesterday? He said, I was tired and I just didn't feel like coming to work. And he said, at first I thought the kid was just screwing with me, but I looked at him right now and he said he was serious. And I said, son, it doesn't work like that. You rest on the weekends. You can't just rest in the middle of the week. But he said, this kid never was taught how to work. And I hear that kind of thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think that's part of the challenge. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Senator Kennedy right after this.
It's the season of savings at Grange Co-op. Now through November 30th, score unbeatable deals on your favorite brands. Get select Giorgio Romeo boots, just $55.99. Take 25% off Carhartt sweatshirts, 30% off all men's and women's jackets and vests, and 30% off Bogs boots. Plus, grab Yeti gear at the lowest prices of the season. Whether it's your farm, ranch, pets, garden, or gear, you'll find it all on sale now at Grange Co-op. 55 Lake Boulevard in Reading. Don't miss out. Shop in-store or online at grangecoop.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Ashton Aged Maduro. Blended by world-renowned cigar maker Carlito Fuente, a masterpiece is born. Vibrant filler and binder from the DR are artfully crafted with a luxurious Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, gifting us with subtle notes of cocoa, almond, molasses, and black pepper. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
At
Stifel Nicholas. I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Jason in the house.
So you're working, you're doing all kinds of different things, but again, why? What did you get your undergraduate in?
I went to Vanderbilt University.
Uh-huh.
I did an undergraduate degree in three things: political science, philosophy, and economics. Loved all three. Then I went to law school, University of Virginia. Then I clerked for a federal judge, which was a terrific experience. And then I wasn't ready to go to work for a living. I had a chance to come to work for a senator on Capitol Hill, but I wanted to go back to school. And so I applied and got another law degree from Oxford University in England, which was a rare and wonderful experience. I stayed in academia, and a clerkship is just an extension of academics. I stayed in school, I don't know, 10 years. And then finally I just said, well, I want to eat and live indoors, and I can't do it without money, so I went to work for a living.
Yeah, our son actually went to UVA law school. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And
that's a great law school.
Yeah, that's a great school. So you're going along, you're doing that, but then what happened? You said you mentioned something here where, you know, you woke up one day and said, by the end of the day, you said, yeah, I think I'm going to get into politics. Like, happened that day?
Well, I was practicing law, earning a good living. I had supported a gentleman for governor and done a few policy papers for him. I think I'd given him $500 to help him. Nobody expected him to win. He was a reform governor running against the infamous Governor Edwin Edwards. And Governor Romer won. And one day I'm sitting in my office working away, and my secretary came in and said, Governor-elect Romer's on the phone. And I said, Kim, Stop joking around. I got work to do. She said, no, it's really the governor-elect. So I took the call, and Buddy, Governor Romer, said, Kennedy, I need a lawyer. I've heard that you will do it. And so he said, I want you to come to Baton Rouge for a few weeks and help me out. Well, he was the governor-elect. So I talked to my law partners, and they said, okay, you can go up there a few weeks. And I did, and a few weeks became 2.5 years. And that's how I got started in politics, and I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was frustrating sometimes. It was rewarding sometimes. But just like the Senate, I had good days and I had bad days, but I never had a boring day. And I earned a good living practicing law. But, practicing law, it gets more boring sometimes, particularly if you're working on a case that doesn't especially interest you. So I like the freedom of politics. So long as I can get elected, I mean, I can sort of do what I want. And I do, and I don't try to bubble wrap things. Most people know where I stand on things. They may not like it, but I say what I think. I play outside the pocket. God created all of us to be unique individuals, and I have the right to remain silent, but God did not give me the ability. So I just say what I think. I'll let her rip.
There you go. All right. So the book is called How to Test Negative for Stupid and Why Washington Never Will. Can you give away the secret of why they never will? Because, you know, there's that story I was told before I was elected to the House. So I went and saw
right.
this 22-year veteran of the House, a guy named Jim Hansen. Mm-hmm. He was from Utah.
Remember.
And I went and
yep.
saw him, and I said, sir, I don't know what I don't know, so tell me what I need to know. And he told me, he said, you know, you are going to walk onto that floor of the House, you're going to think, how did I get there? But then after about six months, things are going to change. I was like, you know, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. And he says, about 6 months, you're going to go in, have that same experience, chill down your spine. How did I get here? But then you're going to look around and you're going to say, how did they all get here? Like, did anybody meet these people? How did they get elected? And it was so true. It was so true.
Good advice. The problem with Washington, D.C. and the federal government in general is that common sense is illegal. there are a lot of smart people in Washington. There are a lot of smart people in the Senate, right, smarter than me. But when I feel inadequate, I just look around, and then I feel better. Because you know what I'm about to say, Jason. I look around at some of these high IQ stupid people, and you wonder, how did these people make it through the birth canal? You know, their ideas are equate to, well, let's just do the worst thing possible that won't work. Let's just do the dumbest thing possible that won't work. Can Washington get better? Yes. But the water in Washington, D.C. is not going to clear up till you get the pigs out of the creek. And we got a lot of pigs there.
Well, look, our founders envisioned that it was, you know, the House, the Senate, the presidency, the way our republic is set up. It's not a glide path to do things quick and easy.
Right.
But what do you see are the – Trey Gowdy and I talk about this a lot. You know, we served roughly the same time. The social media component, really, you could almost just see it, where people would actually do stuff, and then they started doing stupid stuff because they'd had to have some young staffer come stand in front of them, and they were making a YouTube video or an Instagram post, yeah, as opposed to actually doing the work that we were supposed to be doing in the House. What are some of those stupid things that are happening?
Well, if you want to understand why we just had a shutdown, you can read my book. I mean, here's what happened with the shutdown. It was just bone deep down to the marrow stupid. The country was 7 weeks ago was rocking along. We were minding our own business. Our budget was about to run out, but we were negotiating with the Democrats. Republicans were on a new budget, and Senator Schumer, he comes to us and he says, "Well, I'm going to vote shut down government if you don't give me $1.5 trillion." And I'm going to tell you how to spend it. And by the way, we want you to gut the one big beautiful bill that we just passed. And we want you to extend the Obamacare subsidies permanently. Well, you know, we all looked at each other. And I mean, my attitude was, I'd rather have a back alley colonoscopy than vote for that. And Senator Schumer knew it was an unserious offer. He was trying to shore up his own personal politics with the loon wing of his party. Because he in part has Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez breathing down his neck. And Senator Schumer knew exactly what he was doing, but he put the country through all this pain for 7 weeks. Republicans never budged because what he was demanding was so ridiculous. We weren't going to do it. And then finally, he had to go to a few of his Democratic colleagues and say, look, do me a favor, vote to open it back up, but I can't support you, and I may have to dog cuss you a little bit to make it look good, but I'm trying to get the Bolshevik wing, the loon wing of my party to love. And we went through all of that. I mean, that's what I mean when I say common sense is illegal in Washington. And Chuck gambled and he lost. You know, last time I saw him, he was wandering around the Senate floor looking like a guy who just lost his luggage at the airport. Now the loon wing of his party is even angrier at him. So what was accomplished? Nothing.
No, I'm amazed by how pathetic it was, because they did. They walked out of there with nothing. They didn't. But
they got zero.
The problem is, if your core principle, if your core tenet, the core of what you're fighting for is unreasonable, unattainable, and not true, that resonates with the American people, you'll never win that fight.
You won't.
Let me ask you this. Donald Trump will arguably be one of the most, if not the most, consequential, you know, presidents we've ever had. What do you see about President Trump that he's doing that the Democrats are just totally oblivious to? Because they still don't get him. Maybe they do and they fake it, but I think a lot of them just don't understand the appeal that he has from coast to coast.
Well, President Trump had never been in politics before. He really hadn't spent time in Washington.
Right.
So he came in unblemished, if you will. President Trump is successful because he understands common sense. He was a very practical businessman. He was elected, I think, Jason, because he doesn't try to pretend to be something he isn't.
Right.
Yes, he's made a lot of money, but he doesn't talk down to people. I particularly identify with this trait. He plays outside of the pocket when people go to him and say, Mr. President, you can't do it that way. because it's never been done that way. The president will say, my words, not his. Well, I understand it's never been done that way, but the way we've been doing it forever sucks. So I'm going to do it differently. And that it drives the Democrats crazy. And their hatred of him has become irrational. It really has. I said the other day, if President Trump came out in favor of breathing to live, the Democrats would hold their breath. That's how irrational it's become.
It's true. And I even after past elections, I still don't think they fully understand or appreciate how this billionaire New Yorker who's always, you know, dressed in a tie and ready to go and, you know, and working as hard as he, how he appeals to middle class Americans, how he appeals to the younger generation. Like, they don't get it. They don't understand it.
Well, he does stuff. And he, like most business people, he, this is the way I explained it anyway. If he's got to make 10 decisions a day, he'll make them. He won't hire a consultant or an expert
right.
or form a study committee. He'll make the decisions. And his attitude is, well, I'll get 7 of them right. Two of them I might get wrong, but I can fix them late. And the third one, well, I just got it wrong. Okay. But we got to keep moving.
Yeah.
And that's the way he approaches things. And I think I find it refreshing. His style is not altogether my style. I told the president one time, I don't think he liked it, but I said, Mr. President, you seem to grow anxious when you have an unexpressed thought. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean, Jimmy? I said, Mr. President, you're the president. You don't have to say everything out loud, but he does. And he's unfiltered. And some people that aggravates, but I think a lot of people, you know, they find it refreshing.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and inflation could make a devastating comeback. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match on bonus silver if you qualify. Call 855-969-GOLD to learn more. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A preemie baby from New York who was in the NICU for 146 days and finally got to go home makes today's Dean's List. Trinity Alexandria Rose Taylor weighed just 1 pound 14 ounces when she was born at 26 weeks. Doctors called her a micro preemie and a miracle. She faced big challenges with her underdeveloped lung, her heart, and eyesight, but was a fighter
every single day. Her parents, Letitia Morris and David Taylor, say her survival is a miracle. The NICU was a second home for Trinity's family, giving her critical care, monitoring, and saying many prayers. And finally, when she was able to go home, the hospital made sure it was a day to remember. Doctors, nurses, and staff all lined the hallways, clapping and cheering as Trinity and her family walked the red carpet. She weighed over 11 pounds when she went home and will now just return for regular checkups going forward. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fox on 10. Apple releases its first big update to its new mobile operating system. iOS 26.1 can be downloaded now, and as usual, Apple recommends everyone eligible update their iPhones, at least for the sake of security patches. But the update also adds some features promised by Apple. Within the new liquid glass design, a tinted background for icons is now available, and the update brings support for live translations and AirPods for both simplified and traditional Mandarin Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Italian. 26.1 brings back a beloved multitasking tool that was done away with when 26 was first released. That's iPad slide over. And for Apple fans hoping to get a new laptop but are afraid it could break the bank, Bloomberg reports Apple is working on building a budget-level MacBook that could retail for less than $1,000. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Jason in the House.
So the book is How to Test Negative for Stupid by Senator Kennedy. I have a few kind of rapid questions I need to ask you that I have all the guests answer. I hope you don't mind, but I need to go through these with you. So
ask me anything.
All right. First concert you attended.
First concert I attended was a it was in college, actually. A performance of you remember the musical Hair, H-A-I-R?
Yeah.
That was the first concert I attended. I think the second concert I attended was a Meatloaf concert. I loved Meatloaf. I just thought he was one of the greatest rock stars. And I actually I never met him, but I got to talk to him one day on the phone. I just thought he was a total banger, man.
Yeah, an amazing voice. Amazing voice. What was your high school mascot?
Broncos. We were the Bucking Broncos. That's B as in Bucking. Bucking Broncos.
You know, out in the Intermountain West where we are, we have a lot of Broncos and horses, but we actually have a lot of Broncos and horses. So that's interesting that in Louisiana you would have that. But, yeah, good high school name, right?
Amen.
And it's a good high school, like, basketball, football name. It's great. What's your superpower? Like, I believe everybody has a superpower. Like, hey, you know what? I'm actually pretty good at that. You may not admit it out loud, but what is yours? What can you do that maybe not everybody else can do?
Jason, I'm not trying to be humble here. I'm not sure I have a superpower. I think to the extent I've had success in life, it's been because I learned how to work. You know, I went to school with people who were much smarter than me. They really were. Not just at Oxford, but at University of Virginia Law. Same way. I mean, your son must be brilliant to get in to that school today. But there might have been people who were smarter than me. There were. But they couldn't outwork me. And that's something my dad taught me. His attitude was, you know, if you get tired, you rest. You don't quit. You fall down. There's an old, I think it's a Chinese proverb. It's a Japanese proverb. Fall down 7 times, get up 8. You know.
Yeah.
If I have a superpower, and I'm not convinced I do, it's that I was taught not to quit.
Well, I'm gonna guess. That's great advice. I was gonna ask you what the best advice is you ever got, but that fills that category. But.
Well, the best advice I ever got, and I don't remember who told me this, but it was a really smart person. He said, "Always be yourself, unless you suck." And I thought that was an elegant way of putting it.
My take on your superpower is your clarity, that you can take a complex issue or a question and synthesize it down into something that everybody understands and do so with a smile on your face. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can. Even when I've seen you like grilling somebody, it is painfully obvious they're not up to the job or answering the question. And you, in a very nice way, ask them the most difficult question because of its simplicity. And that gets lost on a lot of people in Congress. They ask this 4-minute question on a 5-minute clock, and then you can't remember what the beginning part of the question was. So you have that, and it is your superpower. I'm going to sign that one to you, whether you know it or not. But I think you, my guess is you actually do know that.
Well, that's kind of, you know this, Jason. A lot of people in Washington try to muddy the water to make it look deep. And I remember once under President Biden, we had an expert in front of us telling us how great electric vehicles were and why we had to spend billions of taxpayer money to subsidize them. And he went on forever. It was really, actually, it was very eloquent. But it was when it was my turn to question him, I asked him a simple question. I said, you think electric vehicles are great, do you not? And he said, of course, yes. And I said, electric vehicles are so great, why do we have to pay people to drive them? He was speechless. He couldn't answer the question. But I try to ask questions that I think average Americans would ask.
Yeah.
Average Americans don't have time to sit around and listen to us honk on like a goose. They're too busy earning a living. But when they do have time, they want you to talk plainly and simply and not bubble wrap it.
Senator John Kennedy, how to test negative for stupid. Way there up on the charts. What a great name for a book. Senator Kennedy, it's available for sale now. And highly encourage you to go have a look at it. And, Senator, very generous of your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. You're a total banger, Jason. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, man. You use banger next to meatloaf and me. You've just made my
day. Absolutely. You're also a total baller. You're a rock star. you're what cool looks like, Jason.
Thank you, Senator. Really, truly appreciate it. Have a great day. And thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you, man. Love you, Chef.
Want to thank Senator Kennedy. He's just the best. Love Senator Kennedy. He is so fun, talented, got his head screwed on straight, and always entertaining, right? You know, he just tells it like it is and the way he sees it, and that's what we love about him. So wish him all the best. I'd appreciate it if you could rate the podcast. Want to make sure that you subscribe to the podcast because, you know, these podcasts come out, and once a week, we always have great guests. We got a library of great guests, and we will have another great guest next week, I promise you. You'll love it. So if you can check it out over at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you find podcasts, remind people that you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Rate it, review it, subscribe to it. Join us again next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Back to school specials are here at Charlou's Tap House. Feed the whole family with a large shoe topping pizza, big fresh salad, and a basket of breadsticks, all for just $48. And hey, don't forget to book your kids' birthday party in our adventure room. They'll make their own pizzas, jump in the bounce house, and play in the arcade. Or let them play while you relax and dine. Parents, we've got you covered too. Happy hour, 7 days a week from 3 to 6 p.m. Enjoy the beer wall for 25% off and deals on appetizers. Stop by Charlou's, located at 1901 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway. Charlou's Tap House, where family traditions begin.
Endeavor. Where light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump has plans to renovate the two golf courses at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
Over the past 10 months, the president has kept busy with plans to refurbish the Kennedy Center and build a massive White House ballroom. And now he's overseeing upgrades and renovations at the Joint Base Andrews golf courses. On Saturday, he took an aerial tour with golf pro and friend Jack Nicklaus.
Jack will be the architect and he'll design it. Two existing courses that are in very bad shape.
He claimed the military's base recreational facilities have been destroyed through lack of maintenance. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Talks between Ukraine and its Western allies on a U.S. peace plan to end the Russian invasion underway in Geneva today. The head of the Ukrainian delegation, Andriy Yermak, says they held their first meeting this morning with national security advisors from the U.K., France, and Germany. Right now, the U.S. delegation is meeting Secretary of State Marco Rubio leading the way. The University of Alabama at Birmingham says a football player stabbed two teammates Saturday morning before the game against the University of South Florida.
UAB says both wounded players are hospitalized in stable condition. A suspect is in custody. The university has not released the names of those involved, but county jail records show authorities have arrested UAB offensive lineman Daniel Mincy. They've charged Mincy with assault and attempted murder.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Pressure is increasing on the former Prince Andrew to give evidence to a U.S. congressional committee investigating convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Britain's prime minister says he should. Keir Starmer did not comment directly about King Charles' disgraced younger brother, but told reporters that, as a, quote, general principle, people should testify. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, it's Mike Gallagher, host of the Mike Gallagher Show. I don't mess around when it comes to saving you money. Right now, rates have dropped to the lowest level in over a year and a half. That means if you bought your home or refinanced in the last 3 years, you could be saving hundreds of dollars every month. Lower your rate, lower your monthly payment, even kick that pesky PMI to the curb. And get this, you can skip 2 full months of mortgage payments. But that's not all. Fellowship Home Loans just rolled out something incredible. Their very own HELOC and lines of credit. Approval in just 5 minutes. Money in your account in as little as 4 days. It's the easiest system you've ever used. You can do it yourself online. Whether you want to pay off bills, tackle a home project, cover education, or even a wedding, Fellowship Home Loans makes it simple to leverage the money that's already sitting in your house. Just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG, fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG, or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending guided by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
The Trump administration is proposing new oil drilling off the California and Florida coasts for the first time in decades as the president seeks to expand U.S. oil production amongst the leading in the world at the moment. A plan proposed by the Interior Department would open up new drilling on federal waters off the shores of the two states. The plan has been met with opposition by California Governor Gavin Newsom and other Democrats. A Houthi-controlled court in Yemen has sentenced 17 people to death for allegedly spying for foreign governments. The verdict delivered Saturday is part of a years-long crackdown by the Houthis against dissidents and international aid workers. The court claims those convicted were part of espionage cells linked to this country, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. Two other defendants received 10-year prison sentences. One was acquitted. The verdict can be appealed. The Houthis have been accused of imprisoning thousands during the Civil War. This is townhall.com. Earth has a visitor.
NASA's unveiled close-up pictures of an interstellar comet that's making a quick tour of our solar system.
It's a small, natural, solid body that is a combination of rocky and icy material that evaporates as it gets warm.
NASA's Amit Kshatriya.
It looks and behaves like a comet, and all evidence points to it being a comet. But this one came from outside the solar system.
And that's what's so exciting and scientifically important.
This is only the third interstellar object like this that humanity has ever found.
The likelihood is it came from a solar system older than our own solar system itself.
NASA's Tom Statler says 3I Atlas may offer a window into the deep past. I'm Ben Thomas.
Today is Sunday, November the 23rd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including TV journalist Robin Roberts of Good Morning America. She's 65 years old. Singer-actor Miley Cyrus, 33. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
President Trump welcomed Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to the White House on Tuesday, the first trip the Arab leader has made to the United States in more than 7 years. During the meeting, the two discussed a potential mutual defense agreement and the sale of 48 F-35 fighter jets to Saudi Arabia, the latter of which the Pentagon has raised concerns about due to Saudi Arabia's close ties with China. Israel raised concerns as well. President Trump expressed support for the sale while speaking to reporters on Monday.
They've been a great ally. They've got to like us very much. Look at the Iran situation, what we did in terms of obliterating, you know, we obliterated their nuclear capability. Yeah, I will say that we will be doing that. We'll be selling F-35s.
A lot to discuss here. Let's bring in our panel. Fox News contributor, Outkick columnist Mary Catherine Hamm, Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams, and Fox News Washington-based correspondent Mark Meredith. Obviously, some sticky questions in the Oval Office again, Mary Catherine, about Jamal Khashoggi, journalist who was murdered in the Saudi consulate in Turkey. Thoughts about the relationship and, you know, the linchpin that Saudi Arabia is in the Middle East for kind of bringing the place together.
Yeah, I mean, this is some real politic, and it gets icky at times, I think is the technical term. I appreciate the ABC reporter asking tricky questions, because one of the great things about this country is that you can ask tricky questions of leaders of shady regimes in the White House and try to get answers for those questions. But look, I think what's interesting to me about this is that how much emphasis the president is putting on this relationship, and I think an attempt, obviously, to bring Saudi Arabia into the Abraham Accords, which was a signature accomplishment of Trump's first term, and interestingly, is a foreign policy accomplishment, as many of his accomplishments have been in the first year of his presidency, which to some extent not cuts against, but is not the top priority of some of his base and some of his constituency, which is this more restrictionist, isolationist group. And so him focusing on this place where he's having successes versus domestic politics, although certainly Trump can juggle many things at one time, I think is an interesting feature of this presidency, and perhaps signals his desire to say, this is what I'm doing and I'm doing well, while this domestic front stuff is not going as well for me in the wake of the election a couple weeks ago.
You know, Mark, in the Oval Office, the president did talk about having the discussion with the Crown Prince about the Abraham Accords, and he said that it's not a commitment yet, but a good discussion down the road.
Absolutely, and that was the thing with the defense pact that the president has talked about. Some of the reporters are pressing for more details of, like, what is actually that include? We know about the fighter jets, but what else will we see? And instead, it was kind of left on the sidelines, or maybe that'll be hammered out when the president and his team sit down for the more formal dinner. You can imagine there's additional discussions with Rubio, Bessent, and these others about what will this actually look like. But you mentioned the Accord specifically. Obviously, the U.S. is looking for any additional partners they can find in the Middle East. They have relied so heavily on Qatar and being able to, you know, boost whatever relationship that can provide. I would imagine they'd also hope to rely on the Saudis more as they are trying to bring some stability to the region. And the president still does believe that they are in a solid footing with what they've been able to accomplish in the Middle East. And if they can rely on the Saudis to help get that done, that would be huge. I do think the point that I think you brought it up in the intro, Brett, was that also these fighter jets, it is a huge deal that we're going to be selling them. And there are real concerns about other countries now gaining access to American defense capabilities by way of these jets. Will the Chinese gain valuable insight? Do you pay it? Obviously, this is allegedly, but could you pay somebody off to get access to the same kind of technology? I think there are going to be real questions, because this was something that was considered so controversial only a few years ago, and now you're basically hearing crickets from Capitol Hill about selling these jets.
Yeah. In the past, Juan, when we've sold fighter jets or other technology, we've sold them the dumbed-down versions of our supercharged weapons or jets or whatever. I don't know if that's the case with the F-35s, but clearly the president made the determination that this is what he wants to do, and it's good for the region and good for what his next step is to make a deal with Saudi Arabia.
I don't think there's any question here. I think you've seen the reluctance on the part of defense officials to have this sale go through because of just what you said, the fear that the technology then would get to people who, you know, are viewed as our enemies, the Chinese. And also, don't forget that Israel is not in favor of this. They've never wanted the Saudis to have any kind of military armament comparable to what the United States has given Israel to defend itself. But I think the president's larger or long-term view is, if you are going to achieve peace in the Middle East, you have to have the Saudis in on the deal, recognize Israel. And part of that, from the Saudi perspective, is, well, we're reluctant to do that. There's a lot of opposition in the Arab world to Israel and to their treatment of Palestinians. So we have to talk about a two-state solution. And right now, the Israeli government is not open to that debate, that discussion. And it has been U.S. policy historically. But what we've seen from President Trump is he's trying to put all this on a fast track. And he got a win yesterday, by the way, in the United Nations when they signaled their support for a, you know, peace board that would demilitarize the Gaza Strip and do so under a leadership of, guess whom? President Trump. He's the chairman of the board.
Mary Catherine, it's not often we talk about a win at the United Nations or anything good. And the United Nations from the Trump administration's perspective, but the president himself touted it, and it was a big win for the new ambassador there, Mike Waltz, and the administration to try to get that 20-point plan moved forward and the next steps in Gaza and making that communication to Saudi Arabia that we are on track.
For sure, and I think this is where you see those two sides of the Trump coin, where his boldness in a place in the Middle East and sort of a different way of looking things creates opportunities, even someplace like the UN, where you, as you know, we wouldn't often expect a win, certainly of this magnitude, that he can call his own. And of course, he's very happy to do that. The other side of the coin is that with a regime like Saudi Arabia, I think sometimes there can be a concern that the deal is first and foremost, and getting to the deal, and he likes to get to them, you know, quickly, often, is that what's coming, at what cost are we doing that? And that's the F-35 question. And what other risks does that come with? But I think largely, particularly in the Middle East, sometimes much to my surprise, both in the first term and here, it has changed the calculus in that region in really productive ways for him to think about things differently and for him to do things like having MBS at the Oval Office, which is a completely different lens on it than other presidents would have taken. And it can lead to really good outcomes sometimes.
And we will see all the investment and what next steps happen. Panel, thanks. Now for a bit of history. On November 18, 1883, American and Canadian railroad companies implemented four continental time zones. Before this, the United States had more than 144 local time zones, but as railroads became more prevalent in everyday life, these time zones became a scheduling nightmare for railroad companies, who had to list dozens of different arrival times for the same train as a result. Rather than wait for the federal government to create an official time zone system, the railroad companies took it upon themselves to create their own, though they would not be made official until more than 30 years later when Congress adopted the railroad time zones and put them under the control of the Interstate Commerce Commission. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com, wherever you download your favorite podcast. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Mary, Catherine Hamm, Juan, and Mark, I'm Brett Baer.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Attention retirement savers. A top U.S. bank predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to reports, 2025 recession risks just increased significantly. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you can get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver for qualified accounts. Call 855-969-GOLD. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty-free today. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
This is Health Call for Health. Your gut is a powerful thing. Maybe that's why we're told to trust it. But doctors say you should also take care of your gut health, citing critical actions the bacteria inside can play in helping your body properly function. And now, more people are getting the chance to learn about their guts from at-home microbiome tests. All of these microorganisms play critical roles in digesting food, absorbing nutrients, and more. And an unbalanced gut microbiome can negatively impact a person's health. Many of these at-home tests require mailing in a stool sample to a lab. companies then analyze the data and show how a person's gut bacteria levels stack up. But besides lacking federal regulation, some doctors say these types of tests can have limits and aren't intended for clinical use, citing how unique everyone's gut microbiome is and how different tests can use different factors when comparing results. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A doctor from Brazil who dresses his patients up in superhero costumes to make them feel comfortable before surgery makes today's Dean's List. Dr. Leandro B. Guimarães is an ENT, and he remembers one of his patients a few years ago who was just 2 and was so scared as she was heading into the operating room that she could not stop crying. So he made a promise to himself that he would do everything he could to make sure his littlest patients were as comfortable and strong as they could be. His idea was to have superhero costumes that they could wear in the hospital. The kids get to pick which one, and then he tells them they will go in flying as he helps them get stronger. The doctor also encourages parents to join them in the operating room if the child is still nervous, but so far, everything seems to be working. He also runs alongside to help them feel less scared and records the video to show their families how brave they were. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1969.
We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit. Reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
I have decided to order the immediate redeployment from Vietnam of the Division equivalent of approximately 25,000 men.
At the inquest, I responded as completely and as truthfully as I could to the questions that were put to me by the judge as well as the district attorney.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
This is the largest group of people ever assembled in one place.
Good morning. What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for 400,000.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
The agreement that we are signing in many areas in technology, in AI, in materials, magnet, etc., that will create a lot of investment opportunities.
So you are doing that now. You're saying to me now that the $600 billion will be $1 trillion.
Definitely, because what we are signing will facilitate that.
I like that very much.
A big investment in the U.S. from the Saudi Crown Prince. Joining us now, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. Mr. Treasury Secretary, thanks for being here.
Brett, good to be with you.
That was a big announcement at that moment, 600 to a trillion.
Brett, it was the president at his best, working for the American people, always looking for more for them, and it was a big day here.
What does that look like? I mean, it sounds great, 600 billion to a trillion, but how does that roll out? What does it actually look like?
Well, Brett, think about it. If you are another country in the world, what do you look to the U.S. for? What are the sources of American power? And that's what we saw on display. First, there's the military. So Saudis are going to be buying F-35s, coveted by everyone around the world, proof that they are a valuable ally. Two, our great economy and the reserve currency status of the dollar. So they are willing to put in $1 trillion of investment into their portfolio that they already have here. The U.S. is a premier destination in the world. And then three, our technology and innovation economy. Again, they want to invest in that. They want to buy our chips. We are going to partner them with some of the U.S. biggest tech companies. And then there is also a Saudi startup that will be getting a smaller supply of chips that can be built on.
Let me go back to the first one, the military. There has had been concerned at some time in the Pentagon about giving the F-35s or selling the F-35s with that technology. Israel had raised concerns about it as well, that maybe China could eventually get that technology, or maybe it's not the best thing. What changed in the president's mind on that front?
Well, I think the Saudis have shown that they are valuable allies in the region. It was the Saudis who stepped up during the 12-day war with Iran, during the B-2 operation, Operation Midnight Hammer. So I think the Saudis really showed that they are the premier military player in the area, and during a time of stress, they were 100% behind the U.S.
You talk about the other investments and the AI and the nuclear. What's the timetable for investments like that? When you hear $1 trillion, what are we thinking timetable?
Well, I can tell you the president's very keen for it to happen during his term, and we're already seeing a lot of it start to flow in. So, you know, when we talk about the investment, some of it's going to be for buying the chips. We had someone in the Oval today who's a direct beneficiary of Saudi orders for power turbines. So, you know, I think the president is always in a hurry to help the American people, and he has conveyed that to the Saudis.
What do you say to folks who want to know a total number of all these investments that the president's bringing in, the tariffs that have been implemented and bringing in? Do you have a big figure? Do you have a total number?
Well, the president uses the number 20 trillion in terms of total investments, and you know, I think that those commitments are real, and whether it's corporate investment, whether it's the Japanese trade deal where they're going to put in $550 billion, whether it's the Korean trade deal with $350 billion, whether it's, you know, Apple saying that they're going to reshore, I believe that they may be up to $500 billion. So, you know, it's investments like we've never seen. And Brett, just to put in perspective, the entire Biden administration was $1 trillion over 4 years, $250 billion the final year, and we've got many single investments that are bigger than the Biden administration took in 1 year. So this is America's back. The president's done that. Our great tax policy. So we're deregulating. We've got tax certainty, and we're working on energy certainty.
Is there an affordability crisis? You listen to Democrats. That's obviously the word they're using. The president's talking about it more as well. Is there a crisis when it comes to that?
Well, they should know about it because they caused it. It was the worst inflation in 40 or 50 years by this massive government spending, spend. And if we go back, what did they do that the president differently than the president did in his first term? So they had a demand shock induced by this massive wave of government overspending. But to make it worse, they had this huge regulatory buildup. So demand shock and supply constraint, that's a recipe for this inflation. President Trump, now and during his first term, you get a demand shock from the private sector, but you deregulate, and then you can go back to the non-inflationary growth. But look, we are working on this every day, and my prediction is the first quarter, second quarter, what we are going to see is we have brought the inflation down, it is curving down, and real income, the other side of that equation is real income growth, and we are going to see this from all this investment.
We know that the healthcare dividends are coming to an end at the end of December. Are you in favor of a 6-month extension to try to get a plan between Congress and the White House, first of all? And second of all, are you working on tax plans around whatever healthcare plan surfaces?
Well, what we do at Treasury, we'll work on the tax plan. I don't want to get ahead of the president or HHS. Secretary Kennedy. So we will see what happens with that, but I can guarantee you Treasury will have thought out the taxes.
And do you think
that
there's going to be a push, like months, to kind of give some breathing room?
Again, we're just in charge of the tax side.
Last question. There was a moment where the president was asked about the Fed chair choice in the Oval Office. Take a listen.
You started the interviews for the Fed chair?
Yes.
Who have you interviewed?
I think I already know
know my choice.
Who is it?
Well, I like him, but he's not going to take the job. Here he is. You like Treasury better, right?
Much better, sir.
So we are talking to various people.
He said you like much better, Treasury much better. You're not taking that job.
Brett, there are, I think, 340 million Americans now. I think I can safely say that I will not be the Fed chair. I think President Trump will make a great Fed chair. He has an open mind. He understands monetary policy better than a lot of people on the Fed.
The list is narrowing. There's a top five, but you've already started interviews, and this process is moving forward.
Yep. So we've moved the list from 11 to 5. We're doing another round of interviews. Then some people in the White House will be doing interviews probably right after Thanksgiving. Mid-December, the president will meet the final three candidates and hopefully have an answer before Christmas.
And will we have an answer, do you think, from the Fed about another cut? Do you think that's where they're going?
I hope it's where they're going, because you know, when you're in uncertain times and after what this Schumer shutdown did to the economy, I would think that if you're not taking out an insurance cut here, or if you're flying blind, they say, well, we don't have data. Well, if you don't have data, then that's what insurance is for. So I would encourage them. They've gone into a cycle, so let's go 1, 2, 3, and we can see from there.
We'll continue to follow up, Mr. Secretary. Thanks for the time.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crimes.
Read my lips.
Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
It was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky went up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender! America will get better! Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!
News as it happened then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Engel, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather Updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Alan Lomax, who died in 2002, was an American folklorist and musicologist. Lomax was involved in the archive of folk songs at the Library of Congress and a pioneering oral historian who recorded the early story of American folk artists.
Since I was 17, that was pretty close to 18 straight years. I've been in every back alley in every little town, and I got so I wasn't feeling fresh about America. It was coming out of my ears, and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So it seemed to me that the big problem at that time was to make the world feel like a world of various people speaking various languages, all about the same big human problem.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A woman from South Carolina having a tough time, and the police officer who helped her get through it makes today's Dean's List. It started as a routine traffic stop when Deputy Sean Singleton pulled over Caitlin Riccini for speeding. Caitlin admits she was struggling that day and gave the deputy some attitude, telling him she's never trusted the police. Officer Singleton sensed some tension and asked if Caitlin was doing okay. That's when she broke down and said she was having a tough time these days trying to stay sober, having just left an abusive marriage, and wanting to take care of her young son while dealing with tremendous anxiety. Officer Singleton listened to her story and asked if he could give her a hug. She says she was close to giving up on her life, but after meeting Officer Singleton and his humanity, it reminded her she had a future worth fighting for. Caitlin says he helped save her life. Officer Singleton says he will always try to show mercy and grace when he can. That's his calling, and he hopes others will do the same. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show. Common ground.
There are a number of senators on the Republican side that continue to want to find common ground.
We emphasize the conflict and controversy sells. And I think that's a problem because most Americans look at Washington and see something that's broken.
Why don't we look for ways that we celebrate what this country is capable of doing?
It's amazing what you can do when you get off social media and you start talking, communicating with one another because there is common ground.
With Fox News chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
The general public does not believe that politicians ought to come up here and just live on the federal government. The founders did not, the Constitution did not intend that.
We have to start liberating politicians to speak the truth. I think we need term limits to provide an incentive to...
The effort to end congressional careerism, we're talking about term limits, our guests are calling for a congressional amendment to solidify term limits. Joining us, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis and former Maryland Democratic Congressman David Trone. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. This is a big issue. It's talked about pretty much every election. Governor, there's a lot of people who say this has to happen now.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're doing is we're working through the states. We know people in Congress are not going to be interested in ejecting themselves out of office. So Article 5 of the Constitution provides a pathway to states to propose an amendment. This is a bottom-up movement. Here's the thing, Brett. Republican, Democrat, rich, poor, black, white, huge support for term limits across the board. Very few things unite the American electorate in this divided era of politics more than the need for term limits.
So let me do the pushback, Congressman, and that is somebody gets up on Capitol Hill, they finally figure out the way that this place operates, which is not easy to do if you've not been up there, and you finally get there and then you're term limited. So what's the benefit versus the negative?
I guess you kind of think about, is it working now? Well, that's pretty easy. I mean, Congress is less popular than traffic jams. So it's clearly not working now. So we got to do something different. What we need is new ideas. New ideas get you new people. And that disables the seniority system. The seniority system, which the governor and I have talked about, is where you've got folks that are there for 20, 30, 40 years. They don't get power until 30, 40 years in. We need young folks, different folks, farmers, business people, to come into Congress, bring their new ideas, and use merit, not who lives the longest. Why do we let the people in charge who happen to live the longest? Seems like it ought to be about merit.
But when you look at the seniority, so you come in, maybe idealistic, And then you've got people that have been there 30 years who are the chairman of the committees. So the people that tend to not stay for 30 years, I think, have good intentions, and they get disillusioned because they're blocked from advancing.
Yeah, you look at the average years of service for members of the 119th Congress. In the House, 8.6 years, Senate, 11.2. The percent of congressional incumbents reelected in 2020, 96%. 2024, 97%. To your point, Congressman, that power of incumbency comes with a lot.
Yeah. It absolutely just stifles innovation and a sense of urgency. You know, in business, you've got to be first, and you got to get out there. And in Congress, they're just coasting and coasting and coasting. And then think about who's against this. Members of Congress and the lobbyists. Jack Abramoff, the lobbyist who went to jail, spent 4 years in jail. You know, he said he didn't want to have to repurchase new members. That's why he was against term limits.
Well, and if you also think, people say, well, isn't the term limit just the election? And honestly, on the surface, it's a good point. Incumbents make the system benefit incumbents. They have campaign finance that's written to help incumbents. Congressional franking. There's things that don't make it an even playing field. Most of the congressional districts in this country are going to elect either one party or the other. So then the whole thing is the party primary. So term limits would force turnover and would honestly give more people an opportunity to serve.
Approval of Congress is upside down. I mean, right now it's 18% approve, 71% disapprove.
That's
a good day. Both of you, well, you're on your way out to finish terms. You finished. Do you feel like you have more to do on the elected office space?
I think this is, I wish that this could be done in the next year and a half, but I think it's going to take a little bit longer than that. This is a hanging curveball politically for members of state legislatures. And guess what? It's in their interest to do it. You term limit people in Congress, you're a state senator. Hey, you've got an opportunity to be a congressman someday.
I mean, are you going to get back in the game as far as elected?
12 states. I'm focused on this right now. 12 states have already done it. So we're 12 states there. We need 34 states. But somewhere in the 20s, it will force a constitutional convention. And then when Congress sees that coming, as the governor said, they're going to act on it.
1997, Newt Gingrich's contract with America said term limits were going to be a part of it. They did vote on it, but they came short of the two-thirds needed to send it on.
Yeah.
Have you decided whether you're going to run for president again?
No, because we have one president that just got in office less than a year ago, and that's really the opportunity to change the country. There's obviously been a lot of positive with shutting the border and some of the other things, but Congress needs to be more productive. There's a lot more meat on the bone for them to do, and if you look at what happened in the elections 2 weeks ago, Republicans got their clock clean. Going into the midterms, you got to have a different dynamic, and I think the way you keep Congress is to be productive, for these members to produce good legislation. It can't be all President Trump's shoulders having to do executive orders.
And is this affordability issue, the way it's talked about, very powerful?
It is powerful because if you think about it, we had record inflation for how many years? Inflation is down from the height of Biden and the rate, no question, but the old prices don't come back. So if you're at 3%, that compounds everything. Well, people got to afford utility bills, they got to afford mortgage payments, they got to afford insurance, they got to afford all these things, groceries, and so the old prices haven't come back, and that's just the reality.
And you're a businessman, you see it from the other side as well. Business is being squeezed.
No, business is clearly being squeezed, and when you think about it, 70% of the folks in Congress are either professional career politicians or lawyers. We need a representation of America and not just some elitist group that stays and perpetuates their own power.
Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Follow it. You can see all the Common Ground segments on my podcast, Common Ground. Find that in the All-Star Panel Podcast, under the Brett Baer Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. You can also see this on the Fox News YouTube page.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why Big Wireless wants you on an unlimited plan? They probably want you to cover the cost of those 20-somethings using all that data every month. But most people 50 and up like me only use 12 gigs or less. Don't get bamboozled by Big Wireless. Switch to Consumer Cellular. Our plans start at just 20 bucks, and we use the same towers as the big guys. Join the millions who choose something better, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay, e-billing, fee site for additional facts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Teresa Giudice.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jill Whelan.
Hey, everybody. It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Polizzi.
It's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone. It's Henry Golding.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
I'm Ted Lange, and it's time to take the quiz.
5 questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hand.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcast from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app. The voices America trusts. Download it now.
And now it's time for a Brett Baer Classic. A look back on the best moments from Brett Baer's All-Star Panel to Common Ground and the candidates. You can listen to more of the Brett Baer Podcast on foxnewspodcasts.com.
Hugh, thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure being here, Brett.
You write a lot about America, virtues, American character. How do you see the case for America, considering all that you've studied and written about?
The case is the same case that's been there since 1776, which is self-rule is the best kind of rule, and that choosing our own leaders at regular intervals and the rule of law is the best that's ever been devised. I've been teaching con law for 28 years now, and I always marvel at how the students get excited over the course of a year, which is a pretty boring course. Common law is a pretty boring course. A lot of black letter law, a lot of cases to memorize. But they get pretty excited to see that it actually works, and it was devised by, you know, 50-odd people in a room in Philadelphia over 4.5 months in 1787. Of course, the war was fought 1775 through 1782 with our declaration 1776. But it's an amazing experiment that has worked out for 250 years. That's not nothing. It's not as long as Sparta, but it's not nothing. So they had a pretty good set of ideas in Philadelphia in 1787.
What do you see as the primary values that Americans hold, if kind of writ large?
Freedom. The ability that you and I have to get up and leave whatever they're doing, wherever they are, and go anywhere else they want in this country and start over or put their peg in the ground and say, here I'm going to stay and here. So we have no limits put on what we may do, provided we abide by the law. And I think we like that. I think we like the idea of just being free to raise our own families in our own way, to have those kids go off and do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. And no matter, you know, I've lived in Ohio and Massachusetts and Michigan and California and Virginia and D.C. and New York. I love being an American because I can go all those places. And I'm 69, so most of our viewers don't have that many opportunities yet. But they will by the end. They'll go wherever they want to go and do whatever they want to do. If they work hard, they'll be successful at it.
Do you see that American value of freedom is sometimes on trial or tested in recent years?
Yes, because some people genuinely feel that the opportunity I just discussed is not available to them. And indeed, it's pretty tough on kids who, for example, I usually do a fundraiser a year for Angel Tree Prison Fellowship. It's pretty tough for a kid with one or two parents in prison to feel like they've got opportunities galore. The reality is they do, but it's very difficult to see if you're 12 or you're 10 and you're in straitened circumstances. It's also sometimes very difficult to see if you're in a group that's not majoritarian in whatever community you're in. If you're a minority in whatever community you're in, you're pretty difficult to see which way through. When you run into hate, like our Jewish students saw at Columbia over the last year and a half, they wonder about the American promise of freedom if they can't walk on their campus all the way across the country. At UCLA, campus was closed down for Jewish students for a lot of 2024. So, yeah, I can see where people run into barriers, but the reality is if you push hard enough, you get through them. And I think we all value that. At least we ought to all value that.
You know, several of our founding fathers spoke often about values and morality. In what ways do you think a core morality is infused in the founding of our country?
I do think we are a fundamentally theist society. Now, we're very pluralistic, and I did a show for PBS in 1996 on the varieties of religious experience in America. So 30 years ago. It's gotten more since then. And we all value that, but we are fundamentally theist, meaning that we fundamentally agree that there's a natural law, and we know what's right from wrong. And when we see someone go off and do something horrific, like the shooting, we're talking a couple of days after 19-year-old ambushed firefighters in Idaho. And that's so senseless and so crazy, most people recoil. But that's the outlier. Most of the time, 330 million Americans go through their day being perfectly wonderful human beings, regardless of what they think about each other. They're courteous and kind. Generally, I think it's a very good society in which to live. And I say that coming out of small town Ohio. It might be a Midwesterner's rose-colored glasses, but I think it's true.
I mean, has the expression of those values diminished over time?
Either they're becoming quieter. I don't think they've diminished. I think most people, there was a Supreme Court decision this year, Mahmoud versus Taylor, where the Montgomery County Public School Board was told to stop using books that challenged the fundamental theological beliefs of parents. And it was a 6-3 decision. And the number of parents who lined up were across the religious spectrum, from Orthodox Islamic parents to Orthodox Roman Catholic parents, Orthodox Jewish parents. They all want their theism left alone. And I do believe that that is generally still, we accommodate people's religious beliefs. And I think that's probably the cornerstone of American tolerance, is to get along with everyone regardless of what they believe about infinity.
Yeah. So what do you think are the best examples of American values in our country.
Lincoln, Steve Inskeep, who I know you know. We don't agree on much, but we both love Lincoln. He wrote a new book last year called Differ We Must. And Lincoln was so thoroughly American, so thoroughly Midwesterner, and also so thoroughly open to resolving any problem short of war. But when he went to war, he doggone intended to win it. You've written books on Teddy Roosevelt, on George Washington. You know that we get these amazing patriots, but I think Lincoln is by far the greatest American. I know he's not the founding father of the country, but holding it together through those long periods of trial with that sense of humor and humility, I think he's the greatest person we can hold on.
I'll tell you something I'm working on, and it's kind of crazy, but it is AI and all of the presidents that I've written about. So now it'll be 6 books. Plugging in those books and all of the info of those presidents, and then interviewing those presidents about these values and questions. And that's going to be a part of this book.
I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, so it'll be the first AI interaction of interviewing, and they think that they can even get the voices of each president.
Did you ever get to Mr. Lincoln before Disneyland took him down?
No.
Okay, so it was the first animatronic, Mr. Lincoln. It was fascinating if you were 10 in 1966. But AI does make this. It'll be like watching Daniel Day-Lewis play Lincoln in Spielberg.
Yeah.
For 2.5 hours, you get to sit in the presence of Lincoln, and that's quite an accomplishment. Who's going to do your AI on that?
Well, I've got a number of companies working on it. And
that is fabulous.
There's several models. But for you personally, do you have a moment in your life that kind of best exemplifies your thought that, wow, this is the greatest place on earth?
Well, it's not a moment so much as it's a period of time. When I was in college, I had 2 roommates. One became Bill Clinton's deputy chief of staff and director of the Peace Corps, a fellow named Mark Guerin. The other, Dan Poneman, became President Obama's deputy secretary of energy after working for H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton on the National Security Council. We 3 never agreed on anything, but they're my closest friends. And it's because shared experience, being the same age, same culture. It's a bit concerning to me that people don't have those cross political friendships that used to be routine, not just in D.C., but across the United States. The segregation of people's friendships by politics is a very bad turn. I'm also hoping it's a passing one, like 1968 to 72.
I mean, it's siloed a little bit. I mean, I just did an interview with the New Yorker, and it was quite something. You know, I walked in the studio and David Remnick said, who knew, you know, the Fox guy in the New Yorker studio. But you're right. It is.
It's not. How did that go? Remnick is a very fine writer, and yeah, I've been profiled by the New Yorker, and they're very fair. So I wonder how you thought it went.
It went very fair. And I think if you listen to the podcast, it's, you know, we talk about all things, and obviously there's an obsession on the left about Fox, but I also, you know, kind of talk about common ground, talk about all the things that big interviews and that sort of thing. But he was very fair, and we had a great conversation. And I think overall, that was kind of breaking the silo. But to your point, we are in America a little bit siloed.
It is. In fact, I think one of the things that you're doing with Special Report and maybe with Common Ground is breaking that a little bit. And I like Ro Khanna, because Ro Khanna will come on my radio program whenever I ask him to come on. And Chris Kuhn shows up occasionally. I really like Democrats who will cross the Great Barrier. And, you know, it's not like a fencing match to the death. It's simply a conversation among people of different viewpoints. And we used to do that rather routinely. And I think you might be the last outpost where that happens on a regular basis.
Hopefully not. Hopefully there'll be more. Last thing, what do you think we as a country could do to strengthen American values?
This is easy for me. Go back to 7th and 8th grade civics, put it back into the curriculum. There's a wonderful book by Wilfred McClay called Land of Hope, which I think is the best single book on American history. Make that the core curriculum. It's warts and all. As he says, he's objective. He's not neutral, but he's objective about what we've gotten wrong, what we've gotten right in the country. and really pour ourselves into civics as opposed to ideology into the basic civics. You know, whether it's only a bill, that old cartoon from Schoolhouse Rock. I'd like to get back to some basics about how much we have in common, not what we have to fight over.
Hugh, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Good to see you, Brett.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class exam required to qualify.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why Big Wireless wants you on an unlimited plan? They probably want you to cover the cost of those 20-somethings using all that data every month. But most people 50 and up like me only use 12 gigs or less. Don't get bamboozled by Big Wireless. Switch to Consumer Cellular. Our plans start at just $20, and we use the same towers as the big guys. Join the millions who choose something better, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay, e-billing, fee site for additional fax.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Reading. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Reading, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Reading, we invite you to join us. Visit ReadingChamber.com to learn more.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.